You're listening to Bigfoot Live. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
I want all the viewers in the world today to know that this creature is out there. I have no doubt in my mind that there is a primate, a hominoid, a biped, something that walks on two all over this country. There's an unknown species out there, and we're going to find it. We've done vocalizations. We receive something in return, answering to it. We're going to be sharing our finds with the world. Because what we've got now, no one else has. And the legend carries on by the work that we've done all these years.
Say it's not you. Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moxon Joe. Well, the party they gonna have out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, hello, everybody. This is Marco Bill. Welcome to the Bigfoot Live radio show. And Rocky, are you there, my friend?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, TJ will not be on tonight. He had some urgent business he had to conduct. And, of course, he's back from expedition. But now we're planning the next one sometime in April. And next week, TJ will be on again. And he'll be telling us a little bit about what he's planning to do. I'd like to thank each and every one out there. I got to apologize. A couple of you have emailed me and texted me and told me that there wasn't some of the shows are not showing up on the webpage. So I went up there and I looked at it the other day, and sure enough, there's about four or five missing. Now, they're not missing. What happened was when we publish these things, they say that they're published, but if they don't get all the way published, they stay in what they call a draft format, which will not show up on the webpage. They're invisible. So I'm going to go up there tomorrow and correct that. So get them all out there so you guys on the podcast can get out there and use them and see them. We get people from overseas, England, that listen to the podcast all the time. The last podcast. Yeah. Go ahead. So anyway, that's we'll correct that. I'd like to also thank all you folks out there for listening, giving me some feedback, and lots of little notes on the Facebook pages. Appreciate it, everybody. You guys are really hanging right in there and following us along. There's quite a bit of things going on all around us, so we've got to keep it going. So tonight what we're going to do, let's see, we've got Big D, we got Eric, we got Rocky, we got myself. Roy should be coming in here pretty soon. So let's start it off, and let's, Rocky, how are you tonight? How are you doing?
I'm doing really good, really good. If I complained, it would just be because I didn't have anything else to do.
Gosh. Well, let's go out here to our footprint. Well, first of all, I'll tell you what. While we're on here, do me a favor. If you're not on the air, mute. Just mute out on your own mute so I don't have to unmute you and mute you. You guys can do it. There's some feedback coming back to the line here, and it can alternately go. But let's go out to Big D. And Big D, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Marco. Know the grindstone as usual. Sorry I had to jump off last week. It was my fault entirely with the YouTube channel.
Don't worry. We're fine.
Yeah. I mean, Devlin's on paper with YouTube channel. Yeah, with the Bigfoot Dogman Research Project, compiling the data, I actually went out today. It was an outstanding outing. Not a lot of activity, a few tree knocks, but like I said, it's all about helping people and compiling that data, you know, going back through, seeing the changes in weather and the patterns of their movements and stuff like that. All the fun stuff. You know, sweat and pull ticks off. But I wouldn't trade it for the world, you know. I get to meet and talk to outstanding people on a daily basis. And being out there on that public forum like that, it's I have a whole lot more respect for you guys having done this, the real research in the field, and also dealing with that aspect of it. Because it can be daunting. You get these people who say, oh, well, I don't believe in Bigfoot. Okay, you know, there's a whole lot of people who can better explain that to you, the hows and the whys, than me. You know, I want to talk to the people who've had these encounters to help them understand it, you know, the situation, because there's a lot of disinformation out there, unfortunately, as you know.
Well, and there's a lot of people out there who want to make their own little fiefdom, you know. You know, it's all about what the real thing is here, and what we've always done on this show is this show is for anybody, everybody. And we have them come on the show without any reservation. They don't
Absolutely.
Have to feel like they're going to be ridiculed in any way. We allow them to share their story with us, and we're glad for it because
that rings through with all of you guys and Mr. Biscardi, the godfather himself, like, tip my hat to him. He's the most personable, down-to-earth person I've met in 16, 17 states I've been to in my 32 years on planet Earth, you know? And he genuinely, in his heart and soul, cares about the people first and foremost. He's either an aggressive encounter or benign and passive.
Well, as Rocky can attest, many people think that they like to go with us on our little vacation and find out that it's very difficult to keep up. Isn't that right, Rocky?
Oh, yeah. Tom's not playing when he's out there. Tom gets serious.
Oh, and I love it. I mean, it's a serious thing. You know, I call them the weekend warriors, the guys that go once a month to the big hot spots in America. And, you know, they camp out for a night and they come back with pictures and stories and whatnot. You know, and that's really why I'm glad that TJ reached out. Because, I mean, I put school on hold, bachelor program, all this to go in there every single day to try to compile evidence and data to better understand the creature for the benefit of all men. You know what I mean? Because whether we believe in them or not, that doesn't change the fact that they're there, you know? So it's good to have people out there with the right minds and the right hearts that aren't afraid to do the work that you don't see when the camera comes on, the long hikes into the areas. There's no glitz and glamour about it.
Mm-mm. Nope, and it's a lot of work, as a matter of fact. There's a lot of work involved and a lot of drudgery.
Oh, absolutely. You
know, hours and hours and hours of nothing.
Oh, yeah.
But when that few little minutes or the few minutes or the few seconds or whatever it is that you get, I know that everybody that I know says it's worth every hour and day wasted. It's worth every bit of it to get that few minutes of time where you really get some good information. You see the creature,
Amen.
Or you get evidence of the creature around, and that's really a big thing.
Right. Even you know, a step further than that, when you get to talk to these people, when you put boots on the ground and you care about them, and to help someone who had maybe a passive encounter that they didn't understand completely, to kind of open doors to other options that aren't just completely, you know, the things that sell, I'll put it that way, online, that the, oh, well, Sasquatch kicked in our front door, that type of garbage. I mean, there's too much of that. And I'm just glad, like I said, that there's actual veteran researchers and investigators like you guys that, you know, it's very humbling. I'll put that, you know, somebody who's an independent doing it by myself to be in such good company.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people out there that they don't want to research. They're messengers of what they saw, and they share what they saw and experienced. And that's important. Mm-hmm. And it's important to us because it gives us more information on what we're trying to develop. You know, the characteristics, all the other aspects of these creatures, including different species of creatures. You know what I mean? And,
absolutely.
Each time you get an input of what an individual has experienced, seen, heard, it adds another little check mark in there and gives you another little bit of information that you didn't probably know before. And I mean, I think that's great. And I think that is the big, big thing about our Bigfoot community. Oops, we lost somebody here. I think we lost Leo, but he'll come back in. The big thing that I would like to, you know, I like to say is, if we could all get along together, all share, you know, share in what we find. I mean, everything that we do, we put on our website, talk about it on our radio show. We invite people to come on the radio show and discuss it. We invite people to come on and make comments to our web pages.
Absolutely.
I mean, all of that is a part of trying to get up to a point to where it's no longer a mystery. And everybody is involved in this. I mean, everybody could be involved in it. What happens
right.
many times,
you guys do it the right way.
Yeah, but what happens many times, well, there's a lot of people that are doing research that, hi, Leo, I'm sorry, you're back, right?
Yeah, I'm back. I'm back with you guys. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, no, that's okay. But there's a lot of people out there. Not necessarily, there are certain ways to do research and things like that, but there are many people out there that don't know. They're not used to this kind of thing. They've never experienced it, so they kind of have to start from scratch. And
yes,
you know, when you start from scratch, what you do is you learn everything the hard way. And by listening, though, to many people who have had experiences in this and who are experienced it, you learn many things that you can do to increase your acuity when you go out there. And so for a lot of people, it's a good thing. It could be a good thing. But there are many people out there that hold the position that they don't want to release any information. Now, in the first place, let me tell you something. You know, a lot of people out there think there's all kinds of money in this. And if you're out there for the money, guess what? You might as well start all the way back from scratch. Because there is no money in this. This is purely ambition on trying to solve and passion to solve a problem. But I can tell you, it does take a lot of money to do these researches if you're going to do it full time. It takes a lot of money. Now, just as a matter of fact, last year we put on something like 120,000 miles. I think that's what we put on in our rig and our team going out, about 120,000 miles. It costs us somewhere in the neighborhood of about $130,000 a year to conduct research. To, you know, I mean, you got to go.
Right. Absolutely. So, Dan, you guys are doing it professionally.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, it takes a lot of money to do that. People wouldn't realize that. But, you know, if you can just look at the gas alone, look at the tires, look at the truck, getting the equipment all, up to speed. So, I mean, all those things. It takes a lot of money to do this. Now, and a lot of people hold it against us that we sell things for money. Of course we do. We're selling, we make movies on what we've done to make money so that we can support our research. And that's where it goes. And I would think that some of the people that are on the team would appreciate a paycheck occasionally for going out for a month.
Yeah, 120,000 miles. When I first got the community, doing it independently out of my own pocket, and when you hear communities, it rings out that there's going to be people that would help you understand better, that would bring you in, get you acclimated to what you may experience. And I found out the hard way, honestly, that it wasn't like that until TJ and Mr. Biscardi and the crew came through, and you know, stripped down, bare bones. This is what it is. This is what we're going to do. We like what you've done. We want you with us. And I mean, it was that simple. And,
well, I can't tell you, Big D, I can't tell you how many people in the last 10 years that I've seen. And we've had a couple of guys. A couple of guys wanted to go out and said, I want to go on. I want to be a one of your team guys. I want to go on. So Tom invited them along with just to go with us, right? And after 3 days, they couldn't keep up anymore, and they had to stop, and they went and flew back home.
Wow.
Well, there's a lot of...
I've seen that a few times.
Sleep deprivation. There is, if you really look at it, if you're really out there, you take a look at the way that they roll. I mean, to get a notification, used to be we'd get a notification. Who just came up? Leo?
Hey, it's Leo. I had to switch phones there. Sorry about that.
Yeah, don't worry. That's all right. There's a lot of people, we get a notification, for instance, back in, 2007, 2006, we got a notification somewhere up in Oregon. And, In the information, we got to verify that the information's fresh, ready to go. That we're not going to go out. We're not going to waste a lot of money on nothing, right? We got to make sure. But once we made sure, you couldn't believe it. I mean, they got in that truck. They got everybody together. Got everybody up. Picked everybody up and on their way. And within a day and a half, they were there.
That's outstanding. I can just see my experience on the Red River Basin, how daunting it is, like to be a Harlem Globetrotter and still be doing it good in the right way and actually take time to talk to the people. I imagine how daunting that is,
And we have a couple of guys. Go ahead, Rocky.
I'm a part-timer.
All right.
I'm a part-timer, and this last little bit, I put over 9,000 miles on my truck, running with Tom and the boys. Tom takes care of everything. Truck maintenance, fuel costs, all that. That's Tom. And what we do, we put lots and lots of miles on, but we always stop and talk to people. We listen to people. We do more listening than talking in most cases. But we find a few every now and then, like the guy whose wife had been kidnapped by a Bigfoot two or three times. I think he was hitting the bottle a little bit too hard. But then we run into people like the woman down in Rockwall, Texas. Extremely credible people that Tom, if it wasn't for Tom, Yeah, I had the little encounter, and that would have been the end of that for me had it not been for Tom. One day Tom called me and said, "Hey, Rocky, said you need to go on an expedition with us." And so I've been doing it ever since. The point being, I want to, because Tom didn't say I was crazy, or, you know, didn't say all the things that most people would, it's a thing I want to be there to help prove to the world that Tom was right and they were wrong.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, buddy. Yeah. Rocky, Kurt, we've been friends a long time. We haven't even met each other, but we've been friends for a long,
yeah,
long time. And when Rocky first started on, it was a secret radio show, the secret ballot on the radio show. And Rocky didn't use his real name. He, because there was a lot of things that was that happened to him. I mean, threats against him and his family. I mean, this was pretty dangerous. This was pretty dangerous stuff. Okay, I'm not kidding. And a lot of things happened to him that would, to any other person, probably would have just, you know, made him a closet case for the rest of his life. But Rocky came on with Tom, and Tom didn't push anything. Did he, Rocky? He didn't push you in any situation. He allowed you to. He just allowed you to what anonymity you needed, what you felt comfortable at disclosing, and there were a lot of hurdles that you had to overcome. And those radio shows are still here. I mean, I listened to them last week. By the way, just in case you guys don't know this, the archive radio shows play 24 hours a day, and they go through all the way from show number one through 450 some. Not all these. I don't. Pretty soon I'll put the current years on there too, but I leave the current years off. But I go through all the way up to 2015, you can listen to all of those different programs from almost 10 years worth of stuff. And there is a lot there. And Rocky's three major radio shows where we had Rocky on. And that was before you wanted to become a team member, Rocky. But that was when you were allowed to talk about a limited amount of what you wanted to, you know, tell everybody, right? And a lot of it was because of the pressure that was on you and your family forever exploiting these creatures or anything that happened to you. And I say that it was a very dangerous situation. Now, Rocky laughs all that off now, but he wrestles bears and he does all these other things. I mean, and him and Swede go out in the woods at cold camp. I mean, cold camping, all this. I mean, they go out into the wild. I mean, they experience the very, very, very wild. They go like 100 and some miles on a vacation for, what was 40 some days?
It was turned out to be about 200 and something miles. And we did the whole month of August.
Yes, it was. And, I mean, things like that, you just never – and to the experiences that they displayed when they went through it, the people they met. Now, you would think, you know, okay, they went in the wilderness for 200 and some miles and nothing happened. No, they ran across people. And here's the things that people don't realize. You're walking into territories where people have are growing, you know, illegal stuff. They're protecting their fields, okay? you got to be very careful. And they ran across some of those situations, okay? And some of the people out there, when you start getting into the very deep country, people do not want to be very forthcoming. They're kind of want to be hidden because of they're making alcohol, or they're growing marijuana, or they're doing other things, you know, the meth and all, any of the other things that could be going on. And they want to hide that from anybody. And in many cases, that's their only, probably their only income. But that's what the income they choose to do, because farming sure as hell isn't very beneficial in most cases. But then they also run across farms. But, you know, you can listen to the radio shows and get all that stuff out of it. But I'm going to tell you, that is an accomplishment. That is an accomplishment. I couldn't believe some of the things that they went through. And Rocky, I mean, you and Swede, I couldn't believe everything that you experienced. That was unbelievable.
We made the big walk, the month-long walk in August for my 60th birthday. Well, I got a call the other day, and the Swede said, "Your 65th birthday is coming up." And I said, don't even go there. And he said, "I was just wondering if we was going to go for a walk." And I told him that the last one was going to last me for another 60 years.
Oh, gosh. Unbelievable.
We've spent, me and the Swede have spent so much time out in the woods together that, I mean, there's a lot of times that speaking isn't necessary.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's like the one guy said, it's like two oxes in the same yoke. That, you know, they know when they're going to turn left. They know when they're going to turn right. They don't have to discuss it. And, you know, we've just been out there so much in the woods hunting and just being out there that, you know, I have to admit these past couple of years we've both had so much going that we haven't been able to be out in the woods like we normally would. And, we both hate the fact that we haven't been out in the woods as much as we have, but, you know, we both have big plans for just as soon as we get all of the humdrum stuff done to go out to the woods, and hopefully we get to do another month long thing. I'm not going to walk that far again. or if I do, it's because it was like 225 miles.
Well, Rocky, you're really amazing. You and Swede were out one time, and this wasn't during this time, but it was another time. And you knew this old guy that was kind of like a hermit out there, and he would pick ginseng.
Oh, ginseng, Mike.
Yeah. And he picked ginseng, and he, and of course he was kind of a leery, kind of a strange creature that had a gun.
Yes.
Probably wouldn't be afraid to use it if he had an advantage somewhere.
It was funny because the first time we saw him, we was trying to describe him to Tom, and Robert said that his baseball cap looked like a beer can sitting on a fence post. His head wasn't as wide as a normal man's hand. He had one eyebrow, and he probably stood five maybe, and looked like he weighed about 87 pounds. And I've never seen such nicotine-stained hands in my life. Well, the first time we met him, you know, it wasn't it wasn't a bad experience. He showed us an area where we found footprints. Well, the next time we saw him, the next time I saw him, he was pointing an old pistol at me. And he was just, I mean, completely, it's like he had just, I think he may have been eating some of the wrong kind of mushrooms. But anyhow, the Swede had to sneak up on him from behind and grabbed him. And we took the gun away from him. And, you know, I should have been mad, but I looked at the old gun that he had. And it was so rusty and everything. I'm not sure it would even shoot. So we took it. We went back up to my truck, and I cleaned his gun for him and got it all lubed up and everything, and gave it back to him. But I kept the ammunition, and I told him that I would put the ammunition in a can up the road, and he could get that and when he came to it. But he did. He showed us some. He showed us an area where there was some Bigfoot footprints. I mean, that's either that or he. You know, I don't know. It was big footprints with a long, long stride. Wasn't in exactly the place he said it was, but we did find them. And the second time, I think he was probably thinking that we were out there trying to horn in on his Jim Singh and Golden Seal, which the first time we met him, he probably had about $1,500 worth in a bucket.
Yeah,
so,
there's a lot. That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of things out there that people hold dear, and it doesn't look like it's worth anything. But there's a lot of money out there that you know that people hold dear, and they're willing to protect it. And you don't know what you're coming up on when you come up on a stranger. You have no idea what you're going to encounter, and that can be a dangerous situation. Just like a couple of times happened for you, and a couple other times too as well, where people at first when you went in there didn't exactly take you. You know, when you ask them questions about it. And then later on, you went and you looked, and what was it? The cage had been
guy that had the pet coons.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, that was expanded metal cages that was welded, and something had torn the top off of them and consumed the coons that was in it. And I stood on the on the part of the cage that had been peeled back, and I mean I weighed in excess of 200 pounds, and I couldn't bend it. And something just peeled her back like a tuna can or something.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that amazing, Leo? How about you? You had any? Experiences similar to that?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. The piggyback.
The Yorari Forest. Yeah, the Yorari Forest has all kinds of mysteries, I'm sure.
Oh my God. Piggyback off two things and compile them together to what we're talking about. One thing that Big D said, you know, when I got into this thing, you know, four or five years ago, you know, got into it hard and got hooked up with you guys and with TJ and with Tom Sr. And with Rocky. you know, it was one particular guy that called in reference to some sightings that he had some areas that were not exactly near the Yorari Forest, but it's in the neighboring county. And the guy, just like Big D was saying, you know, people think that, you know, somebody calls and say, "Hey, man, I think I seen a Bigfoot walking in my uncle's field." That we just roll up out there, put out cameras, and we sit around and we listen to howls. It's not that type of party. And this young man, I told him, I said, he started acting like he was very, very adamant about getting into the research. And I explained to him, just like what Big D said, you know, he explained to folks, "Hey, man, you know, this ain't some kind of federal funding. We don't get this. This is our gas money. And where I live, which Rocky knows, Rocky's been to the Uwari Forest. Where I live from the Uwari Forest, man, is like two and a half hours away. So, you know, gas is not cheap. And so getting to the Uwari Forest and going to areas in Uwari Forest is another 2.5 hours. Correct me if I'm wrong, Rocky.
It's a long ways.
It's a long way. So this young man came with me, and like I said, to piggyback what Big D said, you know, I pulled out a map, and he looked at me and started putting his fatigues on and things. He said, okay. He said, I'm ready. I said, you ready for what? And I put my eyeglasses on and looked down at the map. He said, well, we're going to walk down a trail. I said, no, sir, we're not, man. I said, I got data notes that I'm looking at first. I said, it's almost like mapping out a battle plan. I said, I'm old Jarhead Marine, and I'm going to put out a battle plan. I'm looking at gathering information from research offline that I've gathered from several websites of encounters that people have had and interviews I've done with store owners at the outpost, where majority of the people come in there frantic and scared, telling the store owner, hey, man, we just had such and such happen. And I said, what I do is I try to connect the dots, and I look at where I see the most buckshots on this target. That's where we're going to. I said, you know, I'm not just getting out, throwing my backpack on my damn back and put my K-bar on and strap my pistol to my hip, and bam, we're going to walk down the woods, and there goes Sasquatch. I said, don't work that way, brother. it don't work that way. And I said, if you've ever listened to Mike Green or read Mike Green's book, Mike Green would tell you this is the most boring job it is. Someday you go out and see stuff. Someday you're just going to get some damn exercise. That's all you're going to get. So, you know, if you are a true researcher, you put your ads and takeaways and do your hypothesis and see what you get. Now, when you put your game plan together, when it's damn third down, now it's time you might throw that touchdown. But those other two downs, you got to inch yourself closer and closer to these creatures. So, you know, a lot of times, and I hadn't heard anything from this guy, because talking back what Rocky was saying, I was a ground pounder, and everybody know what that is. That's old infantry. And we walked and we walked and we walked. We seen one or two tree twists, and it's like he was thinking that the Uwari Forest is my property. You're going to pay me, and I'm going to take you out. And it's like going to Africa. We're going to bag that big rhino or that big lion. And it don't work that way. I said, we got to walk. We got to see things. If we see things, we see things. If we don't, we don't. We go back, and we punt. That's what we do. But and to bring everything full scale about what you asked me, Marco, yeah, I had some touchy situations. Mine has been more with the Native Americans. To me personally, my personal experience, and to the listeners out there, Big D and Rocky and Marco know why they call me Leo, but I've had some very, 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 very touchy situation with Native Americans, and it's been close than dealing with any hillbilly you want to deal with. I put it that way, because Native Americans.
Leo, as a matter of fact, and as you probably don't or may know or may not know, all of you, we deal with a lot of different Indian nations. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Many of them. Mm-hmm. And the Apache, the Blackfeet, the Ojibwe in Minnesota, the Sioux, the Cherokee. Navajo,
mm-hmm.
all, and we go on these reservations, okay? And I got to tell you, there's a reason why they're very skeptical of us. Or anybody coming on the reservation, because the first time we get a piece of information or anything on their, it's their reservation. It's their reservation, not ours. It's not free public access. You got to be invited to get in it.
Right.
And the thing that people have done over the years has
tried to make it into a public affairs, and they don't want public affairs in their nation. They want and a lot of the things that we're dealing with when we deal with Bigfoot are both sacred or a part of their heritage type belief system.
Yeah.
And they have specific beliefs specific belief systems on this, and I have to respect that because they know what they're talking about.
Oh yeah.
About.
Oh yeah.
Many of them
they know.
Access.
They know.
You know, Marco, I do respect that. And I've said, you know, on my little YouTube channel before, like I'll start my information gathering with as far back as I can find of Native American like texts about the creature. But it's kind of crazy. I've actually been harassed by some Native American tribe members because I'm not supposed to. And, you know, I've gotten video evidence and photographs where I've got pretty close to the creature, you know, just in studying it and trying to help everyone. You know, that's why I put it out in the public. You better understand. Maybe there's somebody who has that missing puzzle piece, you know.
And the bad, not to cut you off, Big D, but the bad.
Yeah, no, no,
like. Yeah, like you were saying, getting close, you know, one of the experiences I had was in Iwari Forest in an area that when Rocky and TJ and Tom came to Iwari Forest, it's on the backside of West Morris Mountain, and Rocky's very familiar. On that backside, it's a little community. It's near what a lot of people know as Pinehurst. Everybody know what Pinehurst is famous for. It's famous for golf and you know, the World Golf Tournament is here in North Carolina. But I made my way all around West Morris Mountain, and one of the foresters that was there, he was, he's Lumbee Indian, and he was riding a four-wheeler. And the first thing that really startled me was the area that I went in, you wouldn't be inspecting, just like what Big D said a little while ago, around the Indian River in Oklahoma, you wouldn't be expecting somebody coming up, racing up a side of a field on a four-wheeler, anything like this. And the closer they got, first thing hit my mind was, I was like, part of my friends like, oh, shit, gang warden, I'm going to jail. I say this so loosely, y'all know what I mean when I say that. I said, the man's going to lock up the man. So, as I walked, it was he came up and he and I started talking, and first thing he said, "Hey, brother," because of my complexion, he thought I was a Native American. He actually, you know, when we started talking, I said, "Yeah," I said, "I do have some Native American in my family. My mother and her family was from Lumbee," and we got talking. He said, "Hey, I know what you're doing," and it startled me because it was like mental telepathy. I was reading his mind. He was telling me, "I know why you're up here. I know what you're looking for." He says, "You need to be careful because the backside of this mountain, yes, it's federal property. You have much right to walk through this wooded area as long as you don't go past the signs that say private property, no trespassing." He said, "But even then, the backside of this mountain, you got some I think called Chihuahuan Indians." He says, "Some guys up here live in cabins. This is actually where they live. This is not cabins for weekend vacation. These guys live up here, and they're serious. And if you cross them wrong, you by yourself, you better make sure you got some firepower. You're going to have a bad day." So, I ran into some situations like that that I had to turn around. And as we say in the military, I had to beat feet at least 4 or 5 miles, take my ass right back down the mountain to hurry up and get away from that area if I didn't want to be in a bad situation. So a lot of people fell to realize, and like I said again, what Big D said, you can run into some bad situations. This is not like a fishing trip. You're going to go to the lake and just throw your line out in the water and start fishing. It don't work that way. We go into some bad situation. And I tell people, you know, since I've started this thing, myself and Mike Green have been eyes in the sky, and I tell people, if you want to read a book, if you really want to understand, if you want to see if the test you need to take to see if you want to do this research thing, if you want to be serious like myself, Big D, Rocky, TJ, Marco Bill, if your ass really want to see if you're serious about this thing, you need to get Mike Green's book, Sasquatch for Sale, and you need to read it from front to back to let you to really find out if you are really serious. You know, this going on, and I'm not knocking, I won't call the name of the shows, you know, watching these shows out here on HBO and these other shows, and you think you're just going to wake up, fill your coffee thermos full of coffee, and you're going to go to, you know, say, hey, this is where Leo the Bigfoot Hunter went. This is where Big D went. I'm going to go down here. I'm going to do this. It don't work that way. And
yeah.
it's a lot of time and effort in this. Ticks. I've came home, and my wife would tell you, I had stripped naked in the garage. Get ticks off of me. I've had, and Rocky knows what these call, chiggers, that get on you. I've had those.
Yeah. I've been in.
There you go. I've been down in the Wari Forest, down near a lot of people out there that are not outdoors and don't know what cesspools are called. I mean, what they are. I've been near cesspools and areas where, you know, the back of your mind, you'll be thinking, I bet it's the biggest rattlesnake, the biggest copperhead somewhere sitting in his brush. And you got to go to these areas. It's not just you're going to just walk at the edge of the woods and Bigfoot's going to pop out. These creatures are indigenous creatures. They're not going to come. You might get lucky every once in a while, and one might walk out, just wander out in the field. But majority of the time, these damn creatures are going to be embedded in areas that they know. They're smart. They know that if you're not an avid tracker, you're not going to be able to make it down in here to find them. And people better realize that.
You know, Leo, when you try to explain to people that it's not, you know, not a big fun thing, what they don't understand, you go out in the woods and you have an area that you think is the hot spot, and you sit hiding behind a bush, and it's zero. The only place, the softest place that you can find to sit, I don't care who you are or where you are, after about 4 hours sitting there, you realize that you're sitting on a rock and just gouging you in the butt. And so maybe I'll move if it gets to hurting a little bit worse, because you don't want to move because you don't want to scare anything off. You sit out there, sometimes you're freezing your butt off. Sometimes you're sweating your butt off. But I don't care who you are. You try to sit motionless for hours on end, and it's not a fun thing to do. I love to be out in the woods, but, you know, in the situations that we're talking about, you're trying to be quiet. You're trying to control your breathing to where it's not making any noise. Comfortable is something that doesn't happen out there.
No.
People don't realize the hardship and the pain that you have to go through.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally pain.
It's 360 degrees, you know. People think it's glitz and glamour because of, like say, the certain TV shows. They don't start when the camera goes on. They look at me and they say, well, D's an average Joe. You know, he's a nice guy. He's going out there. He's got this and that. 9 months it took me in the same area, like basically badgering them, chasing them, you know.
Yeah.
A long, long strip of woods down the Red River. I put everything on hold. You know, God bless, I got the greatest family who's supportive. I told them if I don't come back with anything, I'll sign the papers, you can lock me away. You know, but they're out there. And I was lucky enough, that's it, like I said, you know, that I brought back something tangible. And I've been hooked ever since. But it's a personal sacrifice. And like I say, it's a physical sacrifice a lot of the times, you know. You get done with a 7-mile hike, you know, and through rocky terrain sometimes and uneven ground, unlevel ground, you're going to come back sore, tired, you know. You're not going to be able to sit at the dinner table and to have your mom there listen to kids to talk about what they did in school. Not because you don't want to, it's because you're physically and mentally exhausted from, as you say, you got to keep those senses open, you know. The weekend warrior stuff, you know, that's for the birds. If you really want to gather the data and the physical evidence, when I tell people the journals that I've kept where I got, you know, what the wind and the weather and stuff was like, they're like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, well, don't worry about it, you know. You gather data and you postulate and compare things, you know, for a better understanding. You just don't want to see the wind.
And that's the same thing with this guy, Big D. When I took this guy down there, when he called Tom Sr., and Tom called me. He said, hey, Leo, you need to jump on this right now, son. You need to get on this, call this guy. And when I got this, and y'all pardon my French, when I got this jackass, when we started going down 109, going into Iwari Forest, and, you know, he was like, where are we going? And I said, dude, we're not going to a damn state park like Yosemite or something where you're going to see the gushers or something, and we're going to walk out and, you know, roast marshmallows and shit like that, and sing Kumbaya. Don't work that way. And the deeper we got into Iwari Forest, and I pointed out to him, I said, the outpost, the area you see, that's why a lot of people, a lot of campers from all over the world, they come here, have experience. They go, they run to this outpost. And I said, they go to this outpost, and they tell the owner and people in there what they've seen, or when they get scared, because that's the closest thing to civilization here in the Iwari Forest. I said, when I tell you, it is no police station. It is the furthest daggum outpost for forestry. It's nowhere near the Iwari Forest. Being exact, it's not even in the same county as the Iwari Forest.
Wow.
He was like, huh? I was like, yes. And Rocky knows what I'm talking about. I said, yes.
People don't realize that, brother. I mean,
right. Yeah, and I was telling him that, and I said, man, this is what you're getting into. I said, when we go, the places I'm going to take you, you probably won't hear a damn cricket chirp. That's how far, that's how deep we're going to be. And I said, this is where you said you're about this thing. This is where these creatures are embedded. This is where we're going to get them. I said, you know, you can't go look for something. I said, when you go deer hunting, I said, I don't know, you know, what type of outdoorsman's experience you have. I said, but it's like deer hunting. You know, deer hunters don't set deer stands up and, you know, in a city, downtown metropolis at Times Square and look for deer.
People in the background, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they go where data shows, data's been gathered, and where these creatures might be embedded.
Bigfoot don't hang around in hotel parking lots.
There you go. There you go.
I was going to tell you guys a little story that happened a couple of weeks ago to give you an idea about how some of these people, some people are. We got a call. TJ got a call from somebody and some pictures, and they were pretty good. I mean, they're really good stuff. And so TJ calls me and gives me his number, and I call him, and we're going to have him on the show. This is about 3 weeks ago. And so between the time that I called him and he said, yeah, I'd love to come on the show, and I talked to him and I told him all about our things, till the day before the show, he calls and he says, well, I think I ought to get $350 to come on the show.
Wow. Okay. Whatever, dude.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what you can do. Take your $350. We don't pay
people whatever,
to come
dude.
On the show.
Wow.
What happens? They start talking to people, right? And other people start telling, man, you can make all kinds of money with that, and you can make this.
No.
And so they think they're in this hidden fortune, little scenario, right? And it happened so many times. Now, another time I got to tell you something. Tom had been going to both the Apache White Mountain Reservation and also the Blackfeet Reservation in Montana in Brownie and for several times. And we had all kinds of activity going on down there. So one time they went down there,
they decided that, you know, they had so many reports and things, so they put it out, put a call out on the reservation radio, the reservation radio station. And that, in 2 days, they had over 300 people coming down to tell their encounter story. Can you believe that? Now, all they hide, I mean, they don't let these things out into the public very often because they don't want to. They don't want to be, because, you know, the first time they come out in the public, the first thing that happens is the newspapers and everything, there they go, those guys have been drinking again, you know, and all that kind of crap. They, you know, they really downplay the a lot of racist type comments and things. And these folks, I mean, they have a solid, they have a religion that they believe in. They have a life they believe in, and it's not exactly like ours. They have their own little things. They're one in nature, most of them, and so they respect nature and they respect the animals in nature, and so they have a code that they live by, and you have to respect that code. You don't have to believe it, but you, I do on some of it. But I mean, you don't have to believe everything, but you got to respect the way they feel and the way they think. And if you don't respect them, if you don't respect a person, then you're not going to get anything from them. They're just not going to tell you anything. And that's what happens on most of these reservations. You know, they hold back the information, don't let it get out. You know, they'll have their own little council meetings and get together, and they'll talk about it, but they won't give it, they won't talk about it in front of other people.
Well, see, the other thing, I had to run into as well, you know, Marco, even with this guy, and while we were on our way to the Warrior Forest, the guy was like, hey, man, you don't find too many black guys, man, at the end of this thing. Let me tell you something. This Bigfoot thing, it ain't got nothing to do with skin color. You see what you see. You see what you see. I don't care what race you are. If you see something, you see it. And a lot of people, it's more people than you think from all races that have seen these creatures. But the thing about it is, I'm a type of person, if I see a pink horse in my backyard, I've seen a damn pink horse. You're not going to tell me anything otherwise, you know.
Right.
But it's a lot of people who are worried about ridicule. But what I say to those folks that are serious, you come to Oklahoma, you get what your Big D's. You go to Arkansas, you get with your Rocky Blevins, okay? You call your Marco Bills. You come get with your Leo, the Bigfoot Hunter. I'm going to take you to look, my thing is, the video that I do, if it's not Tom and his team doing a documentary, I don't take my video camera out there to video and call the local news and say, hey, I'm on a TV. I don't do that. If I do video, it's like what Big D said, it's for research. And I tell people, we're out here to try to get evidence. We're not out here to, you know, say, oh, I got the money shot. Now I'm going to sell this to Marco Bill, or I'm going to sell this to Big D Productions for $1 million. It's not about that. It's about finding hard evidence to tell the scientific world, ha, I told you so.
No, that's true.
Hey, man, I mean, because they're 8 steps behind anybody who's got boots on the ground, that's going in the deep brush, taking the personal sacrifices. They can sit and postulate their opinions inside their, you know, in their offices with the 90 degrees on the wall and whatnot, but their hypotheses don't match the data that we're gathering out there in the field. It just simply don't. You have to take that time to get out there and get close.
What we've done, you guys got to understand one thing. What we've done, now, we've done over 50 or 60 different spots on TV, some of them pretty long, six, seven minutes, 30 minutes, I mean, a couple on TV. But the reason that we do that is not for the money. The reason we do that is for it brings us to the areas or the people that have had experiences. And there's only a few of them that went national. Most of them are local TV. You know what I'm talking about? They're in local television. There are a few national ones that we've been involved with. But what happens when you go, when you do that, it brings other people into the picture that don't believe in Bigfoot, that could, that you can bring in. And when you show them evidence, I don't know if you've heard some of the stories. I mean, the time in New York when they went up there, I think Java Bob, we had a female newspaper with her video and a camera, and she was a newspaper reporter, and she was out there, and we actually had a creature on the on one of the scopes, right, on the night vision, and you could see it, and they tried to hand her the night vision thing. She dropped it and took off running. And Java Bob asked her, "Well, where are you going?" She says, "I'm getting out of here. I'm getting out of here." And I mean, you know, things like that. But you can see those little instances in time. We've taken other people out. When Jan Thompson's an author, and she also had a webpage that wrote about different stories about the different creatures. Now, the creature she wrote about was the dog face creature in Wisconsin, but in the Land Between the Lakes. And we took her out, and when we took her out with a newspaper and stuff, that's what we found. We found a footprint. Now, that footprint had a toe that was disarranged. In other words, missing or broken. And while we were out having lunch, we had a guy come up out in the rain waiting for us to come out of the restaurant. Came out of the restaurant, and he started talking to Java Bob and Tom about his experience 10 years ago, or several years ago. And he said, "Yeah," and I found the footprint. And the footprint had a toe that was been on it. Now, 10 years later, we're out there that day. What do you think? He didn't even know that we were out. He just seen their sign on the trailer. And so we listened to him, and he took us out. And we found, there are things that you find, evidence that you find, and you make that public. When you make that public, that makes it more real. And then what our job is, what we say our job is, this radio show and everything else we do, is to bring the American people into the reality that Bigfoot does exist.
Oh, yeah.
It's a real creature. And, break through all the other little things, there's a lot of people who are always going to think it's fake. But there's a lot of people out there, when they see things, that it can convince them. And that's what we want to do. We want to convince them that this is a real creature.
You know, one of the realities, Marco, that people feel that when you actually, you take them to areas where you had your experience, this guy, and you'll find this funny, Big D, this was last year. I hadn't heard from this guy in 8 months, and I'm going to tell you why. I took him to the area where, and to the listeners out there, you probably can go on the Facebook page. You can see the video that I did when I first found my tree break, and that along with my wife, along with TJ, they analyzed the video, and they seen the large shadow pass behind me. It was on the backside of West Morris Mountain, and this is in the middle of nowhere. I'm just telling folks, this is in the middle of no damn where. And you know that's in the middle of nowhere when you say no damn where. And we was on the trail, and I told this guy, I said, "Hey, man, this is where I had the experience I had of the tree break, the growl that I had, not knowing if it was a bear or dog, which I knew it wasn't a bear or dog, and going back later and examining the video and showing it to people that I consider mentors in this Bigfoot thing, like Mike Green, showing this video to these people, and they say, "Hey, man, I don't know what the hell it is, but that's a large shadow passing behind you." And I keep this video on my phone. Even though I download all my pictures, I keep that video on my phone. I showed this guy, and this guy looked at me. He said, "So we in the middle of nowhere, where are we going to go if the same thing happens?" I said, "You got nowhere to go. We're here." And he was like, "What are we going to do?" I said, "Brother, you wanted to come out here and experience this thing. You called Tom. Tom called me. I brought you down here where we were at. We've hiked 2.5-3 miles up in outside of this mountain, rough terrain. This is not this jumping on a trail and it's going to walk down like, you know, Yellow Brick Road. And he was like, well, if we see this creature, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to stand still. We got no damn where to go. What do you think we're going to do, sprout wings and fly away? So when I got this guy back to the car and I took him back, I hadn't heard from that guy since. He was like, I don't think so.
But that doesn't occur to people, you know, the potentially aggressive encounters and how to conduct yourself, you know, correctly, not to show any kind of aggression, to make it, you know, a benign encounter, benign and not, you know, something more than that, like a passive aggressive. The thing is, you have to take into consideration that these things are real. And Marco's right. You know, the more people, attention that you draw to the subject, the more I think people understand, like, it's a blessing in itself that, you know, Tom and the guys came along. You know, I got a small YouTube channel, but it's grown outstandingly fast because I'm not going on there, you know, spinning yarns and whatnot. I tell people exactly what it is without all the bells and whistles of portals and all that type of riffraff. I'm not about that. I tell them what I see, and, you know, I show them what I see. And it's got a lot of traction and from the narration community, these horror narrators and stuff. They've actually got involved, and little kids that like to listen to scary stories and stuff, I give them true encounters from, you know, BFR website or wherever, you know, and the encounters people send me.
But
and that
you
just
have,
draws attention, you know, to people.
Do you have video on your YouTube website?
I have my research investigation from the first time I went in there and started having encounters till I went in there today, actually. We spent 4 hours in there.
What's your website?
It's the Bigfoot Dogman Research Project. And I know I haven't talked about it a lot, but I'd love to have you gentlemen as veteran researchers on. I mean, that's what it's all about, passing on the real information without all the conjectures and the storytelling and the yarns and everything, because it's real. And I hate to say it, there's a lot of people who look at it as just a market. You know,
they're not
looking to help anybody but themselves. And after having my encounter and seeing that, you know, I got kind of tired of it. So,
but the reason I asked Big D, because I've checked out your stuff, and the reason I wanted you to say it, there you have it, folks. If you don't believe in it, you go to Big D's YouTube website, Bigfoot Dogman website, and you can check it out.
I appreciate that.
Well,
no,
now,
I appreciate you.
Everybody's got to tell you, we went about almost 8 minutes after. We're a little bit over time on the show, but that's okay. We're having fun. I'd like to thank each and every one of you here for coming on and contributing to our show. I hope the listeners out there enjoyed the conversations. But as you can see, there are a lot of different avenues, a lot of different experiences that we've went through, all of us. And it's a big thing. And you can't just go out there and do this professionally for anything other than passion and self-satisfaction. You got to want to do it. It's got to be a bug that gets you and bites you, and you have it forever. With that, I'd like to say goodnight to everybody. Thank you guys for coming on the show.
Thank you, sir.
Goodnight, Rocky.
Good night, everybody.
Everybody take care. Till next week.
Next week.
Ivan was an old bear tracker. Tom was a man with dreams.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is Marco Bill, and that's the Bigfoot Live radio show for this week. All of us on the Bigfoot Live network would like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests for joining us tonight for an exciting evening of talk show entertainment, where you, the listeners, become a part of our on-the-air adventure. And we'd also like to thank you, our listeners, for sharing our adventure with us. Join us again next Wednesday evening for another exciting hour of the Bigfoot Live radio show with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. Until then, this is Marco Bill saying good night, and be good, be safe, and be here next week. See you then.
Reason for the fact.